I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to have a Brexit debate update. Brexit, of course, for those who don't know, is a combination of Britain and exit. And they get Brexit. Should Britain exit the European Union? And that's what this whole thing is about. And that's what's been going on over in Western Europe, at least in the UK, but it's affecting the other countries of Western Europe as well, all those who are part of the European Union. And the European Union has been a terrible idea. We've talked about it for years on this program. It is the latest attempt to recreate the Holy Roman Empire and to unite all of Europe in that regard. And of course, it's a terrible idea. It's a globalist, elitist agenda and a totalitarian agenda. If you watch the documentary Brexit, which is a great documentary to explain this in a real simple, straightforward way, but the entire European Union has been set up, according to that film and according to the MEPs, members of the European Parliament, according to them, the whole system was set up in such a way that the people, the common people, would lose the power over government, lose power from this time forward over government, that the nations of Europe would be governed by the European Union and done so in such a way that the people have no control over what's happening. And that and it's been set up as this completely confusing system. So you've had people like Nigel Farage who have been over there. He's a UK politician. He's been fighting against the EU for years, for decades, in fact, trying to get England, Britain to finally exit the European Union. And now they're down to the wire. Well, a couple of things have happened here right before this vote that are very, very interesting. The Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, who is generally a pretty popular figure in England and in the UK, and I really think around the world too. I think most people like the Queen. I think most Americans like the Queen. Most Americans like the royal family generally. They are favorably looked upon, even here in our country. Well, now here we've got a number of headlines on Breitbart. One of them is Her Majesty the Eurosceptic Queen, EU courts denigrate Britain by protecting terrorists. So she has criticized the EU courts because she says they protect terrorists or they protect Islamic extremists. The headline says terrorists, but she's being called the Eurosceptic Queen because she's now asking why Britain should stay in the European Union. She seems to favor the Brexit vote. That is a huge blow to the EU, to have the Queen come out against the EU here right before the vote happens. So the story says Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II thinks European courts that protect Islamic hate preachers denigrate Britain and has demanded her dinner guests, quote, "give me three good reasons to remain inside the European Union." That's what Queen Elizabeth has said. Give me three good reasons to remain inside the EU. And then it goes on. It says the loaded challenge has been widely interpreted as an expression of Euroscepticism since the royal biographer Robert Lacey made the revelation in a blog post in the Daily Beast, etc. All right, so that, I think, is a huge blow to anyone arguing to remain inside the European Union. And it's just a terrible idea for Britain to remain. They should get out. There is absolutely no reason. They have everything to gain and nothing to lose by walking away from the EU. All right, another big story, another big update. The Daily Mail, the second biggest newspaper. We quote from the Daily Mail all the time here in the program. But the Daily Mail is the second Britain's. It's a right-leaning newspaper, said to be the second biggest newspaper. Yeah, the Daily Mail, owned by the Daily Mail and General Trust, is Britain's second biggest selling newspaper with a daily circulation of about 1.5 million. All right, and then they've got a what looks like some kind of a banner or an internet meme from the Daily Mail that says it has a picture of Big Ben on there or St. James Tower. And it says, quote, lies, greedy elites, or a great future outside a broken, dying Europe. If you believe in Britain, vote leave. Vote leave. In other words, leave the European Union, get out. That is from the Daily Mail. And they post that there on the Breitbart article. So the Daily Mail backs the leave in the EU referendum. And here on Breitbart, it says Britain's right-leaning Daily Mail newspaper has come out in support of leaving the European Union. An emailed copy of the front page of its Wednesday edition showed. Okay. The Daily Mail's front page called on its readers to vote leave in Thursday's referendum. That is powerful. That's another huge blow to the EU. The Queen, the Daily Mail. Now, the third blow is that Nigel Farage, who has been leading the charge to get Britain out of the EU, and he's made one speech after another after another. If you go on the internet and you just type in Nigel Farage, F-A-R-A-G-E, and go to YouTube, you can listen to the speeches he's made before the European Parliament for years now. And he just denounces these guys over and over again because he recognizes what they're doing, that they're there to destroy democracy and to bring in basically a system of totalitarian communism all throughout Europe and to destroy the right of the common people to have any say in government. So Farage has been preaching against this for years. And he is with the UK Independence Party, also known as UKIP. And he's been voted now here recently. Nigel Farage is the most popular party leader in Britain, polling the highest out of the four largest parties for leader satisfaction in a final poll before the referendum. So things right now seem to be heavily leaning in favor of Brexit, in favor of exiting the European Union, of Britain getting out of the European Union. Which would be a great thing for Western Europe, be a great thing for England, and it would ultimately impact America in a very positive way. That's what I think. It would, and it would favor, because this whole get out of the EU favors the conservative, traditional conservative and Christian view of what England and ultimately America and the Western world should be. That Western civilization was by and large built and established by Christian people. And it should operate based upon a Bible-based Christian standard. And leaders like Nigel Farage have talked about that. He's talked about reclaiming our Christian heritage. Now, in England, they're not being as bold about it as they should be. And I know I've got a dear friend there who is a missionary in England. And I get emails from him from time to time, and he's a wonderful, godly man. But he says that the situation in Britain spiritually is just not strong, that there is really a declined interest in the Bible and in the Christian faith, that Christianity is in the decline in England. Now, hopefully, I hope and I pray that there will be a revival of some kind, that there will be a reform. That the people of Britain will reclaim their Christian heritage, because they've got a marvelous Christian heritage. This is what we talk about in our film, A Lamp in the Dark, The Untold History of the Bible. That's much of what we're talking about there. And unfortunately, I mean, think about it. Charles Spurgeon was a late 19th century preacher there in London. And he was a very powerful witness for the gospel. Some people believe, you know, that really from the time of the Apostle Paul, there was no greater preacher than Charles Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers. And Spurgeon, if you read his writings and his commentaries and so on, his commentaries are typically just so right on, powerful, very powerful, full of godly insight and wisdom, and just a treasure, a treasure of inspiration. Praise the Lord for Charles Spurgeon. And this was just over 100 years ago that he lived and preached and ministered and did the mighty work that God had given him to do. But from then to now, England has suffered a decline spiritually. Now, I personally believe that two things, one, Darwinism, and two, the critical text, modern textual criticism that you can trace back to Westcott and Hort and so on, that began all of this, began the advance of biblical skepticism in the 20th century. And I think it just had a devastating impact on England and on America as well. But a very devastating impact on England. That is my view. And so my heart, my hope, my prayer is that that might be turned around, God willing, in the Western world, that a zeal for God and a zeal for the Word of God might be stirred up among God's people, and that many souls would come to salvation. And I mean, I believe the salvation for America, the salvation for the West, the salvation for all mankind is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the power of the gospel is the Word of God. The Word of God. So things right now are leaning in what looks like a very positive direction over in the UK with the Brexit vote. It looks like there is a strong chance that they're going to vote to get out of the EU, which is going to send shockwaves throughout the Western world, possibly all the way around the globe, because there's no question that the European Union is a globalist scheme. No question about that. So this could have global consequences. But I think ultimately it will be a very positive thing if it happens, but we've got to wait and see. There are people who are predicting that the elitists are not going to let this just happen. There have been people that have been predicting that somehow or another they're going to try to stop this, to block it and keep it from happening. But what seems to be encouraging is now you've got Queen Elizabeth speaking out about this. Now, of course, if you follow that story on the Queen, they've got it on the Telegraph, UK Telegraph, the same story essentially, but they do say this. They say, quote, Buckingham Palace would neither confirm nor deny that the Queen had been debating the merits of Brexit in private. But royal sources pointed out that the words attributed to the Queen were, quote, a question, not a statement. Interesting. We'll have to see what happens. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Christian Film Ministry. Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're doing a Brexit update. Right here before the big vote. And I wanted to play a little bit of Nigel Farage. And this is a Brexit speech that he gave a short time ago, just a few days ago, that's titled We Won Our Country Back. That's been his motto, We Won Our Country Back. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We've been hearing that here in America. Conservatives have been saying that for years. How are we going to take the country back? And so this is just a little bit of what Nigel Farage had to say, but he's talking about this journey that he's been on for decades on this. Listen.
It really is now the final countdown, is it not? We have 3 days to go to the single most important vote that we are ever going to have in our lifetimes. And I have to say, for me personally, this marks the end of a very long road indeed. Because I've been going for this. I've been working towards this now for 25 years. And for most of that time, I thought I was going to become the patron saint of lost causes. But suddenly, it's quite trendy, I think, to be a Eurosceptic and to believe that the best people to govern Britain are the British people themselves.
All right, so you can see there that the EU policy in general is that the people of these countries, whether it's England or the other countries that are part of the EU, they basically have no control over their country. And probably the biggest issue right now is the issue of immigration, because the European Union forces all of these member countries to take in these Syrian refugees, so-called refugees, who are really these Muslims that are coming in by the hundreds of thousands and by the millions and so on, and flooding these countries and turning them upside down in some cases, and converting whole neighborhoods into an Islamic Sharia type zone, or they're wandering the streets and causing mayhem. They're molesting women, children, burning cars, smashing things, creating all sorts of problems for the people in Western Europe. And so this whole issue, the issue of immigration, is another thing that Nigel Farage pointed to as one of the leading reasons why there is so much support for the Brexit vote. And here's another speech that he gave in the European Parliament some time ago. Listen.
And in what must count as perhaps the worst piece of public policy seen in modern Europe for half a century, when you compounded the already failing and flawed EU common asylum policy by saying to the whole world, please come to Europe, and we saw, frankly, virtually a stampede, and we learn that 80% of those that are coming are not Syrian refugees. In fact, what you've done is to open the door to young, male, economic migrants, many of whom, I have to say, behave in a rather aggressive manner, quite the opposite to what you would ever expect to see from any refugee. And yet when that failure is met by objections from countries like Hungary, their opinions are crushed. This isn't a Europe of peace. It's a Europe of division. It's a Europe of disharmony. It's a Europe that is a recipe for resentment. And yet, faced with all this failure, both of you said the same thing today. You said Europe isn't working, so we must have more Europe. More of the same failing. Well, there is, I think, a bright star on the horizon. It's called the British referendum. And given that none of you want to concede Britain the ability to take back control of our own borders, a Brexit now looks more likely than at any point in modern time. And I hope and pray that Britain voting to leave the European Union will be the beginning of the end of a project, however noble its original intentions, has gone rotten.
All right, and of course, there what Nigel Farage is referring to, he's actually referring to the entire European Union. He is hoping that not only will Britain choose to leave the EU, but that the whole European Union project will collapse. That it's a project that he says has gone rotten. It is a totalitarian scheme from top to bottom. It's a totalitarian scheme. Now, what's interesting to me, that it's events like this. This will be very interesting to see what's going to happen, because let's factor this in now with prophecy and the whole idea of a one world government and a world government coming about. When the League of Nations came about, there may have been those who thought that that was going to, that was the one world government that was going to lead to this a single system that the Antichrist would rule and this kind of thing. But then the League of Nations was dissolved. But then in its place came the United Nations. The UN came afterwards and took its place. The European Union is simply the latest attempt at recreating the Holy Roman Empire. But, and there are those who believe that this would happen, that this is going to become the woman riding the beast, etc. And what was all of this going to unfold into a world government through the EU? Well, that may not be the case here. That obviously, if the EU collapses like the League of Nations collapsed, then it's not going to happen through the European Union. It reminds me of what we read in Daniel, where it says, well, in Daniel chapter 2, where you have Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the great statue with the head of gold, with the chest and the arms of silver, with the belly and the thighs of brass, and then the two legs of iron. And then there at the end of the statue, and of course this the statue symbolizes four world empires that are all explained in Daniel chapter 2. But Daniel explains in verse 40, he says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, it shall break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken." Partly strong and partly broken. Now, the reason I believe this is important, brethren, is because for centuries, prophecy teachers, most all prophecy teachers, have agreed that the two legs of iron represent the Roman Empire, the Eastern and Western Roman Empire. Okay? That is generally agreed upon as those two legs of iron. Now then, the feet that are part of iron and part of miry clay, we read, the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken, or brittle. I've got a footnote here that uses the word brittle, which seems to symbolize the instability of Europe through the centuries, because Europe has just been filled with wars and conflicts and, I mean, literally one nation rising against another over and over again. You study the 30 Years' War, then World War I and World War II, all of these things begin in Europe, the countries of Europe. Then when you factor in Eastern Europe and Islam and all of Islam's aggression against the Western Europe and trying to invade Western Europe, with the Battle of Tours, the Battle of Lepanto, the Battle of Vienna, etc., over and over again, there's just been one conflict after another. Now you've got the Islamic world flooding into Western Europe. And you've got verse 43. It says, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay." Even as iron is not mixed with clay, they shall not cleave to one another. Now, reading the commentaries on this from centuries past are very interesting to me, because the way that this is interpreted by earlier Bible scholars and teachers is that the people of Europe, that there would be attempts to unite the people of Europe, but that they would not adhere to one another, that they're not going, their alliances and their intermarriages and things like that were going to fall apart. It was not going to work, that they're not going to cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And that appears throughout the history of Europe for centuries and in modern times if the European Union falls apart, as Nigel Farage is predicting that it will. If this happens, it could very well be a fulfillment, a partial fulfillment of what we're reading there in verse 43, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 43. But we've got to wait and see what's going to happen with this Brexit vote coming up. And chances are, by the time many of you are listening to this radio program, we will already know. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.